How do you do? We've all heard of a computer worm in the guise of a friendly email, a wolf in sheep's clothing. How do we recognize danger in a treacherous world? Some would say, trust no one. Growing up, the woman in this story reached that point for a while. She was filled with hatred and mistrust until she learned to trust someone who always loved her. And her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Oh, what are you doing here, Lee?
Howdy, Estelle. That's a fine way to greet your husband.
You're not my husband anymore, and you can't come in.
I just want to see the kids, honey. I won't bother you none. See? I don't even have my gun with me.
Did you bring their money? We need groceries.
I sure did. I bought them some goodies, too. I miss my family, Estelle. Can't I see them for just a little bit?
Well, all right, Lee. But promise you won't yell and scare them.
Don't worry. I promise.
This is Unshackled, the award-winning series of true life stories, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. To be renewed is wondrous, whether it's an old house or a discouraged person. Renewal happens at Pacific Garden Mission when homeless people with nowhere to go find a place to stay. They come seeking food and receive the bread of life. At the old lighthouse, they can trade their ragged clothes for an eternal covering. What does this cost? Nothing to the homeless. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts to keep the doors open day and night. The mission shelters hundreds of men, women, and children each day, even providing medical and dental treatment to resident guests in the mission clinic. Renewal comes as they receive the good news. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. That same message goes out to the world in 14 languages through this program. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3200 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Oh, hello, Robin.
I haven't checked on you in several months, Estelle. Is everything okay?
Yeah, sure. Come in. We spent a month in Modesto with the kid's father.
You did?
Yes. He came here and was fine, but he wanted to spend more time with the kids, so we went there since they weren't in school.
Estelle, you violated the restraining order.
I didn't even think about that. He was very nice to us.
You put yourself and the children in danger.
He didn't lift a finger against us, not once. He didn't even raise his voice.
Nevertheless, you shouldn't have done that. I'll have to report this to the court.
You can't do this to me.
Mom!
You won't be able to see your mother anymore. She put you in danger.
Mom! Mom!
You can say goodbye to her. That's all.
You can't take my kids. You can't take my kids.
Estelle, please, leave now.
Mom! Mom!
No, you can't take my kids. No.
The woman in this story grew up with an abusive father, creating fears that ended only when she found peace. Parental guidance is suggested due to the subject matter contained in the true testimony of Linda Remus.
We tried to be a normal family, celebrating holidays and birthdays. Friends came to visit and we went to Grandma's house. I played outside with neighborhood kids whose parents knew what was going on inside our home in Stockton, California. My father was an alcoholic who came home every day and drank until he didn't remember anything. Dad was so abusive, his 8-year-old son from a previous marriage ran away and never came back. Dad worked for the Border Patrol and carried a gun.
Stupid cow! I should have left you in the Philippines.
No! Stop, Lee! Help me! Somebody help me!
Go away! Oh.
One night, my mother was so afraid, she jumped from their window on the second floor and broke her ankle. My father took her to the psychiatric ward, claiming she tried to kill herself. Even that didn't convince her to leave him. When she was released, she came back home. A few years later, when I was 7, my baby brother was born. That's the year my father's violence reached a new peak, and Mom left him. We had to testify in court.
He took all my clothes off and dragged me from the back of the house to the front. Then he dragged me outside for the whole neighborhood to see. He locked me outside. I was screaming, too scared to move, so neighbors called the police. The police wouldn't let me stay home, so I took my baby and left. 2 days later, I went back and got my daughter, Linda. We stayed in a homeless shelter for women.
Mom told authorities that my father abused me. I had no memory of it, but a doctor's exam revealed that it was true. And I had to have counseling for many years. Mom was Filipino. Dad married her while he was in the Navy, so she had no job skills, and we didn't have much. But we were happy, because life was peaceful at last without Dad's drunkenness. His work for the Border Patrol gave him the means to discover where we lived, so we moved a lot. Although Mom had a restraining order against him, we lived in fear.
What is it?
Dad?
Where?
On the street. He followed me.
On foot?
In his car.
Quick, lock the doors. Go, lock the back door. Hurry. We're going to have to move again. Why doesn't he leave us alone?
We moved 5 times in a 3-year period. I changed school so often, I got used to being the new girl in class. Then one day, Dad showed up at our door and was so nice that Mom decided that it was safe for all of us to spend the summer with him in his home, which violated the restraining order. That's when Mom lost custody of me and my brother. A social worker took us to a group home where Mom was allowed to visit only once a month. It was all such a nightmare. A supervisor sat in the room with us, which was awkward.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
They told me you lived in a private home for a while.
Yeah, a black lady. She had a nice house.
You didn't like it there?
It was okay. She made broccoli with cheese. Boy, was it good.
Why did you run away?
I didn't run away, Mom. I just went to a friend's house after school. What's wrong with that? She sent police looking for me.
You should listen to her, Linda. Try to get along.
I did try. But I went back to my friend's house the next day, too. So that lady brought me back here.
At least she kept your brother. Do you like this place?
It's okay. We have chores and we go on field trips.
I'm trying to get you both back home with me. Would you like that?
Sure, Mom. Anyway, Dad can't get me here. I stayed in the group home for a few months. And then one day, a woman came and took me to her home. I liked being her foster child because she lived in the country and had a barn with horses and chickens. She also had a pool. She treated me as if I were her own daughter. I stayed there for 1.5 years and we grew close. Every 3 months, she took me to visit my mother in a social service building. Then one day, my mother arrived at the farm. Hi, Mom.
Linda, what are you doing with those eggs?
It's part of my chores to gather eggs. I cut the grass, too.
Well, I saw the car and wondered who it was.
I came to get Linda. We have permission right here in the paperwork.
But I'd like to adopt her and raise her as my own daughter.
No, she's coming home with me.
Please. She goes to church every Sunday, and she's made lots of friends here, and she's doing well in school. You can visit her whenever you want.
No. Get your things, Linda.
Okay, Mom. I'm sorry, Carol.
You've been a wonderful daughter. Linda, I'll miss you.
I'll miss you, too. I I didn't know how to reconcile all the emotions of these changes. Mom regained custody of me and my brother, and we moved back to Stockton. We went to church a few times, and I received my first Bible from the pastor. I was happy to be with my family again, but we lived in a rough neighborhood, and I attended the worst middle school in the city, where gangs fought every day. Mom worked as a cook in a nursing home next door, so she was nearby. I was 13 when bad news struck again.
A new social worker came today. He said we have to move.
Why, Mom?
Your dad wrote letters. He threatened to kill me. So we've been put in some kind of witness protection program. We have no choice.
Where to this time?
A different city. The social worker asked me if I had family in the U.S., and I told him of my aunt who lives in Chicago. So we're going there.
To Chicago?
Yes.
But it's the winter. How do we get there?
They'll give us plane tickets.
I hated Chicago. We didn't even have winter coats, and the wind and freezing cold tore into me. My aunt lived in such a rough neighborhood that Mom wouldn't let me go outside, even though the apartment was crowded with kids and grandkids who lived there too. Soon we shifted to a cousin's house, but her husband didn't want us, so we moved to another cousin's house. I enjoyed their little girl, but her dad abused me as I tried to kick him and hit him. He just laughed. I was too scared to tell anyone. We'd get kicked out again, and I'd ruin their family, and I loved my cousins too much to do that. So I kept quiet as he continued to abuse me. But hatred festered in my heart, and I wanted to hurt him. I hated my father for the way he hurt my mother, but the rage I felt toward this man was different and scary.
How would Linda deal with this situation? We'll hear more of Linda's story shortly. A highlight of our ministry is hosting visitors and volunteers at Pacific Garden Mission, like this group from the South. Our student choir would like to sing before, during, or after service. We would be honored to assist in whatever way would be most helpful. If there's anything we can bring, like clothing, socks, or cleaning supplies, please let us know. A visitor from Louisiana said, "It might be naughty to say so, but your Unshackled programs are entertaining, as they show how life can be changed by spending time in the Scriptures with the Lord." We couldn't do the work of the ministry at Pacific Garden Mission without volunteers, people who give of themselves and their finances to help turn lives around, and we appreciate every effort, no matter how seemingly insignificant. The Bible says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." Visit soon or volunteer. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
We lived with my cousin for a year before Mom found an apartment for us. She didn't have a job and couldn't afford to pay the rent, so we kept getting kicked out of our apartments. But then I was in high school and had a new boyfriend every few months. Silly teenage relationships. Mom was very strict with me and wouldn't let me visit my friends, a source of contention.
No, you're not going to your friend's house.
Why not?
Because I don't want you running around the streets.
All I do is stay home with my brother and watch TV.
At least I know where you're at, and that you're safe.
I feel like a prisoner.
Girls who run around end up getting pregnant. I don't want you getting pregnant before you're married.
These are my girlfriends.
I don't care. You're not going. Now shut up about it.
Ow! Oh, stop it!
Don't you raise your hand at me, young lady. Go, take out the trash and leave your shoes behind. I don't want you walking to your friend's house.
She locked me out of the house, so I walked to my friend's house in my socks. When Mom realized I was gone, she called the police, who came and brought me home, where Mom and I had another fight. To circumvent our parents, my friends and I would ditch school and have daytime parties, where we danced and drank. I tried several drugs, but never became addicted. I moved out of Mom's house when I was 17 to live with my boyfriend. I finished high school and got a job, then started community college. My best friend was my cousin, Mary.
I admire you, Linda. Going to college, but still having fun.
The original party girl, that's me.
Does your mom still check up on you?
No, except to nag me about not getting pregnant.
She knows from experience, married to your dad.
Mom's mantra is, don't get pregnant until you finish college and you're married.
She's right, Linda. You ever hear from your dad?
No, and I like it that way. I'd never trust him again.
Julio just arrived.
Really? He's cool.
Does your boyfriend know about him?
I hope not. But I really like Julio a lot.
Where did you meet him?
Right here at the club. I didn't know anything about Julio when I met him, but we were soon sleeping together, which my boyfriend discovered and kicked me out of the apartment. So I moved in with Julio and his mother. A month later came life-changing news.
What is it, Linda?
The test is positive, so I'm pregnant, Julio.
How could you let something like that happen?
Don't blame me. You're responsible, too.
You want to get rid of it?
No, but my mother might kill me when she finds out.
What are you going to do?
Hide it from her as long as I can.
You're pregnant? Oh, man. How does Julio feel about this?
He's not very happy. I don't know what I'll do. I wanted to finish college.
What are you going to do next?
Try to keep my mother from finding out.
Sooner or later, she has to know. How are you going to tell her?
Maybe I'll send her a postcard. I just can't believe I'm going to have a baby. I'll have to save my money to buy a crib and stuff.
What about Julio?
He doesn't have a job. I didn't know it when I met him, but he's a drug dealer. His mother told me when he came home all strung out.
Oh, Linda. Well, I'll have a baby shower for you.
Whatever you do, don't let my mother know. When I felt the baby flutter, I cried tears of joy. In time, I sent my mother an ultrasound picture of the baby to reveal my pregnancy to her. She refused to speak to me until the baby was nearly due. Julio had hidden the dark side of his character from me. But he was a gangbanger who rarely came home and was addicted to drugs. Once he came home weeping and asked me to leave. So I did. For a day. I was 20 years old when our son was born in the winter of 2002. I kept my job at a bank while Julio and I lived together in a small apartment on the south side of Chicago. I hated the neighborhood and we fought all the time. When the 4th of July came around, we headed out to the fireworks.
Wait a minute. Shut the door. I want you to carry my gun.
Carry your gun?
Yeah. There'll be a lot of cops at this thing, and they might stop me to look for weapons. In case I get stopped, they won't find anything on me.
So you let me take the rap?
They almost never stop girls.
Well, what about the baby?
Oh, don't worry about him. He'll be okay.
Christians came around every week and shared the gospel with us, but I tried to avoid them. Julio began to abuse me. First, it was just a slap. Then he began to beat me. I ran home to Mom once and just cried while she held me. Another time, I ran to my cousin.
Why don't you leave him, Linda?
He's the father of my son.
He's not a real father, and you know it.
I want our son to grow up with a family.
Some family? Julio still doesn't work, does he?
No.
What kind of example is he to your son? Drugged out? Lazy? Abusive?
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand you. He's living there for free while you work to support him.
It's like we're roommates. I don't even sleep with him. I sleep in the same room with our son, and Julio sleeps in another room.
Do you still love him?
I love him and hate him at the same time. The only person who makes me happy is my baby. Because I wouldn't leave Julio, my cousin stopped talking to me for a few months. On top of all that, my father discovered my address and sent me hateful, threatening letters. I didn't even open some of them. All the men in my life had been abusive. I didn't know the meaning of love, but I decided to move out of South Chicago to the North Side in 2006, the same year my father died. Julio wouldn't move with me, but he came to visit once a week. He still hit me.
I told you not to badmouth me.
It hurts. It hurts so bad.
I will put something on it. You're bleeding all over the place.
I need to see a doctor. I can't stop the bleeding.
I'm out of here.
Don't you ever come back. I never want to see you again.
He had punched me so hard, my teeth had sliced through my upper lip and I needed sutures. At the hospital, I told them what happened. Although I didn't press charges, I did file a police report. Julio stayed away for a month, by which time I knew I was pregnant again. We got back together and the crazy routine resumed. I decided to take my son to church and began trying various ones. Then my cousin invited me to her church picnic on Memorial Day.
I just started going to this church, so I don't know many people yet, but everyone has been really nice to me.
Yeah, the people are very friendly.
I like the pastor. He teaches the Bible so even I can understand it.
I remember going to Bible study when I was living with my foster mom years ago.
I never understood how all those old stories were relevant to my life today, but the pastor helps me see. The world changes, but the human nature doesn't.
Maybe I'll go to the service on Sunday and see for myself if he's a good preacher.
Psalm 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." First of all, God provided forgiveness for your sin by sending his own son to pay the penalty for our sins. You see, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Faith in his sacrifice on the cross as an atonement for your sins saves you from eternity in hell. He who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and that's not all. He offers eternity in heaven. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But you must be born again to enter God's kingdom." The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
I stayed with that church. The pastor and his wife accepted me like part of their family. They took us out to eat, babysat my kids so I could have free time, and saved me a parking spot in back of the church so I didn't have to walk far with the baby. They had us over for Thanksgiving and Christmas. They made me feel so loved. On the other hand, the pastor confronted me about my sin.
"The way you are living is sinful and displeasing to God, Linda."
"It is?"
"The Bible is very clear about God's plan and God's way. The Bible says, 'The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body.' 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 says, 'Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.'"
"Well, it doesn't seem wrong. I mean, everybody lives together."
"God's people are called to be different, set apart from the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him."
I didn't realize.
"What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" You have to let go of your relationship with Julio.
A night came when Julio knocked at my door, and I realized that he was high on drugs. I told him he couldn't come back again and closed the door on him. Then I went to my bedside, fell on my knees, and wept. I cried my heart out to God because I needed to be saved. "Oh God, I repent of my sins against you. Please forgive me for all my sins. Oh God, please
and my relationship with Julio because I don't have the strength to do it alone. Guide me and give me the strength to follow Jesus. Take over my life. I don't want to do it on my own anymore.
My life was transformed that night. The night I decided to live for Christ and no one else. No more parties, no more cursing, no more relationship with Julio. I read my Bible, worked, and spent time with my children. 6 months later, I met a wonderful Christian, and we decided to marry.
I'm very happy for you, Linda.
Me too, Mom. He loves the Lord, and we study the Bible together.
Good. And he accepts the children?
Yes. He wants to adopt them after we're married.
Children need a good father. You certainly didn't have one.
No, because Dad didn't know the Lord. But I have a good father now, one that I trust completely.
You have changed so much, Linda.
I have the assurance of salvation, Mom. Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." How cool is that? Talk about assurance of salvation. Eric and I were married in May of 2010, and God just gave us a daughter. The psalmist says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart."
Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Is the Lord drawing you, listening friend? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." If you need help in making this crucial decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3200. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show, through true stories, that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.